Our study this morning is on Psalm 119, verses 113 to 120, section Samach, provision for handling persecution for biblical separation. Psalm 119 tells of the profitable use of God's written word, the scriptures, and the psalm is formed as an acrostic where each section has a Hebrew letter that begins each of the eight verses in its respective section. Section Samach, verses 112 to 120, explains how Scripture equips the believer to handle persecution he faces, that is, the reaction for one's heeding biblical separation. Very interesting passage. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into His Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for its truth and for the fact that we have the Holy Spirit, who's the author behind the Word, to be our teacher, to open up our hearts and minds to its truth, and then to equip us to live it in obedience to the Lord. We ask, Father, for wisdom this morning to understand the word, and then the sensitivity to heed it, apply it, that we might live it in our lives to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, what I'd like to do is to read the section, and then we'll look at it. Psalm 119, verses 113 to 120. I hate vain thoughts, but I do love thy law. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Okay, we're going to translate this from the Hebrew section. The verse numbering system in the Hebrew text happens to match that of the English Bible throughout the psalm, so of course we're staying with the English Bible's numbering system for this lesson. And we translate from the Hebrew verses 113 to 120 as follows. I have an aversion. The word aversion, sane, can also mean to hate, but it also means have an aversion. We don't believe that God directed his people to hate other people, but to have an aversion, yes. I have an aversion for divided, half-hearted men. This would be in the context half-hearted in commitment to God and to God's truth. And half-hearted is sa'ip. But I love your law. You, this is an emphatic pronoun, it's written in front of the verb, you are my hiding place, shelter, seter, and my personal handheld warrior's shield. There were two shields. There's a large shield in which you would have an armor bearer in front of you, which would be a body shield when you're fighting from a distance. And he would fight, hold that, and then you could throw your spears or whatever. But when you got into hand-to-hand combat, you had a small warrior's shield that you wore right here. It was made of a bunch of layers of thick hide, and it was oiled with olive oil to keep it pliable. And that's what you would use to fend off your foe's strikes and that would otherwise kill you directly. This is a hand-to-hand combat. And that's what magen means. This, God is my warrior shield in hand-to-hand combat, close combat. I have put my hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I might keep the commandments of my Elohim. Elohim is the creator God. Sustain me according to your word, and I will live. Shame me not in my exercise of hope. Uphold, sustain, the Hebrew word is sa'ad, me, and I will be delivered, and I will always have regard for your decrees. You toss aside all who stray from your decrees because of the vanity of their deceit. All the wicked of the earth you exterminate as dross. Because of this, I love your statutes. From awed dread of you, my flesh bristles up, and I respect your verdicts. Okay, we consider the significant observations regarding this psalm. The psalmist observed that his love of God's word and thus his obedience of that word coincides with his aversion to those who are not fully committed to God and his truth so as fully to heed it. I don't know if you've noticed this in your life or not, but the more committed you get to Scripture, the more you align with Scripture, the more you sense an aversion within you from those who are not aligned to Scripture. It's a natural aversion. And that aversion is something that is created by God, incidentally, because God is holy. He is holy. In fact, the angels in heaven right now are constantly calling out, holy, 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 separate of God, because they see the wickedness of the world and the universe. They see God, how he's absolutely perfectly righteous. And the tension between the existence in the universe that God creates of sin and God who is totally sinless is so great, the angels keep crying out, and the word holy means separate, separate, separate. And they cry it out, separate is God, the Lord God of hosts. So we have to keep in mind that if you get to love God's word and you start to obey it, look out, you're going to sense an increasing aversion to unwicked and to godless men. Now, this aversion creates a relationship break between the psalmist and the ungodly. So the ungodly persecutes the psalmist out of hatred. And that's what verses 114 and 120 reveals is sufficiently handled by the godly. First of all, God not nurtures the godly by his word, countering the sufferings experienced by being hatefully persecuted. There's a priceless passage in John chapter 15 that in the early church the Christians used profusely in order to write against charges by those who are persecuting. In John 15:8, notice the tension that exists here between believers and the ungodly. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. This is Jesus speaking. If you were of the world, as to its source, the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out away from the world, therefore the world hates you. Unfortunately, today, in many evangelical circles and churches, the churches are trying to befriend the world and become as much like the world as they possibly can. God never intended for the church to become as much like the world as it can. God wants us to love people who are in the world. But we are supposed to be separate from worldliness. Remember the word that I said to you, verse 20 of John 15. The servant is not greater than his master. If they've persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours as well. But all these things they do unto you for my name's sake, because they don't know him who sent me. See, there's a lack of knowledge of God. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they would not have sinned. That doesn't mean that they wouldn't have had sin. Their sin wouldn't have been defined as sin. But now they have no cloak. Actually, they have no shield for their sin. As a believer, when you're aligned with the Word of God, your life exposes sin in other people. They don't like that. And they have two choices, either repent or to persecute you. And so they will persecute you many times. He that hateth me hateth my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works which no man had done, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. So, it's interesting. God uses his word to counter the sufferings experienced by being hatefully persecuted, and he does it in passages like John chapter 15, because that's where he's explaining what's going on. It's not that there's something bad about you or unusually negative about you. God has taken you as a believer and he's selected you to come away from the world. And because you're different, that automatically creates attention. And also because your life critiques others, that creates attention. And they don't know God. And you do. And that creates attention. Now, God gives those who heed Scripture protection from ungodly persecutors. First of all, he gives the godly survival in crises faced from ungodly foes. God also provides the godly deliverance in those crises. In view of these blessings, the psalmist can afford to practice biblical separation from the ungodly and obeying Scripture. I've had this experience at times. In fact, not long ago, I've had it on three different occasions where I was facing a persecution effort by parties involved, and all of a sudden the Lord brought another Christian along into my life in some way, and who was totally unaware of the situation that was going on and just provided tremendous encouragement right in the midst of the persecution. It was amazing. Another time I was studying scripture in my office, an unsaved man stopped by, and he started pestering and bothering me. He wanted to hang an American flag on our sign out there, and of course it's against federal law to hang American sign on a church, American flag on a church sign and everything, but he was just, you know, being a problem. I said, look, I'll get into trouble if we do this anyway. And he says, well, okay. So he finally ended up leaving. But I went back to my study, and I was studying a passage in the Word of God that explained a certain form of behavior, and it was exactly the behavior that the man exhibited to me. Right then, the Lord was showing me right from His Word, Don, this is Exhibit A. Here you go. So that's sin. In fact, it's one of the advanced sins of depravity. And I was just stunned. I told my wife about it, and as I was in the midst of telling her about it, she says, wow. So she could see the correspondence. But God has a way of helping you in the midst of this with His Word. B, God then works to encourage the upright amid their trials experienced from parting fellowship with the ungodly. God in time neutralizes and will destroy all who depart from His Word. This fact has a twofold edification for the psalmist in reference to his relationships with others. First of all, when he sees God dealing judgment out on those who are opposed to his godliness, he experiences relief and appreciates God's reliability and Scripture's reliability all the more. Now, this doesn't mean that we rejoice when the wicked get their whipping. No. What it means is that we experience relief because God is vindicating us. Now, when the believer sees the severity of God's judgment on the ungodly, he dreads God's punishment for sin. So he respects Scripture all the more and continues to live uprightly apart from sinning in relationship separation from the ungodly. When you see the Lord level his discipline on the ungodly, it's so overwhelming and so scary that it works to cause us to say, okay, boy, I'm not going to go down that path in my life, so help me. That's it. You know, no way. I don't want to get that from the Lord. So the Lord has His way of really informing us through His Word and through the way He applies His discipline on the ungodly to make sure that we stay right with the Lord. So the lesson is the psalmist's adherence to trusting and obeying Scripture created a break in his relationship with the ungodly that resulted in the ungodly persecuting the psalmist. However, God offset the persecution by protecting the ungodly from his foes and reminding him in Scripture of everyone's final solemn accountability to the Lord. In application, we must obey Scripture to avoid God's severe discipline. However, doing so, in other words, obeying Scripture, will cause us to break fellowship with the ungodly, resulting in our being persecuted by them. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not might, shall. It's given, it's granted. Godliness is something that is an aversion to the ungodly. They can't stand it. They don't tolerate it, and it makes them angry because it exposes sin in them. So if you're going to be godly, you will be persecuted. Nevertheless, as we stay focused on Scripture, God protects us from the effects of hateful persecution that we face, making it worthwhile for us to keep heeding His Word and thus practicing biblical separation from the ungodly. Now, there's a whole other dimension to this lesson that I didn't get into because it wasn't taught in the passage, But it's a very important one. It's just come to mind. And Jesus brought it out in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Let me get it here for you. Verse 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. The word glad in Greek there is hilarios. We get the word hilarious from it. Okay. The word hilarious in our language means to be, you know, giddy, but really, it meant to be very, very glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. If you get persecuted for righteousness' sake, you're in a very exclusive group. You're in the group of the prophets, because the prophets were mistreated for righteousness' sake. And if God allows you to face persecution for righteousness' sake, you're in a select group. This is why the apostles, when they had been beaten, and commanded by the Jews not to preach anymore, they returned rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Remember in the Oriental culture that the disciples were in, shame was almost as bad as death. And to be beaten in public was a shame. But they were overjoyed that they had been privileged to suffer shame for the name of Christ. That should be the attitude that we have. Is it easy? No. Is it easy being persecuted? Absolutely not. Is it easy being hated by people? Absolutely not. But it's by far the better route, because we have fellowship with God, and also God ministers in times of persecution in ways that are incredibly edifying and building us up. So we need to stay with the truth. Obey Scripture to avoid God's discipline, however. Doing so will cause us to break fellowship with the ungodly, resulting in our being persecuted by them. But as we stay focused on the Word of God, God not only protects us from the effects of hateful persecution that we have faced, but He makes it worthwhile for us to keep on heeding His Word and thus practicing biblical separation from the ungodly. Now, I want to hasten to say in all of this, the Bible never tells us to hate other people. Never tells us to hate those who, in fact, the Bible says, bless those who persecute you, pray for those who persecute you, those who despitefully use you. Okay? Our attitude should never be malice towards anyone. But, we do have to practice separation. There is an aversion that we will be given by God to those who are ungodly, because there should be a break in fellowship so that we don't have that. Just before the service this morning, before the lesson this morning, I was talking to a believer, and that believer was, believe it or not, expressing to me the tremendous aversion that he had to ungodliness that he witnessed in another church when he was away last Sunday, and just sharing with me. And they said, Don, it was brutal. I know he's talking about. It's an aversion that is there, and actually it's a good sign, the fact that we sense that aversion, because that demonstrates that God's been working in our hearts to make us holy and make us separate from sin, so that we have that aversion to the ungodliness that is there. That's normal. It's not abnormal at all. It should be there. So may God help us. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the lesson itself, doesn't have to be. If there's something else that has come up, feel free to address it, and we'll seek to answer it from the Word of God.